I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host Mark Packham. I'm joined this evening by Matt Knight.
Hello.
Jay Cross.
Hi Mark. Hi gang.
Joe Branton.
Hola.
How's it going?
I feel great. How do you feel today, Mark?
Very well,
yeah,
thank
feel
you.
Feel pretty good actually.
Matt, how are you feeling?
I feel tip top.
Do you?
Do you wit?
Absolutely quality.
See what I've spent my weekend doing was, I mean actually I was working all weekend, but it was quite sort of low key, been eating quite healthily, you know, the sort of things that a human being needs to do to survive, keep going and stuff. How about you, Matt? Did you do a similar sort of...
I did. I actually hung out with you, Mark, and we had a very good time.
We did. Yeah, we did. I made us a nice dinner, a bit of fish, like sweet vegetables. It was great. Look, really nutritious. Jay, sort of similar sort of thing?
Well, not really. I mean, it was my birthday this week, but, you know, I didn't go too mad. We had like a couple of nice days out. We got some sun. The sun was really nice. Had some nice vitamin D on my skin.
Beautiful.
I drank loads of water because the thing is, I it was my birthday, so I knew I was going to be out and about. And what I really wanted to make sure was I didn't get too hungover or too dehydrated. So I drank loads of water. And like every time I had a beer, maybe not every time, but every other time, I'd have some water afterwards.
Yeah, I mean,
Joe, what'd you go up to?
Yeah, how are you feeling?
That was like the ultimate of all build-ups. That was 1 minute and 40 seconds of podcast worth of building up to this. Yeah, I played a festival in Austria and now I think I'm going to die.
Okay, you're feeling bad.
No, but I don't think it's because of that. I think I've just I think I ate some off onions.
Mate, that was all, my favourite line is always like, oh yeah.
You know,
I don't think they clean the lines. I think it was maybe that 12th pint. Like I heard they haven't been clearing the lines properly.
Joe, you do know that although we have to act like it sometimes, we're not actually your parents, and you don't have to lie about the fact you've been on a booze bender.
It genuinely
hepped up on goofballs for 3 days in a row.
It was nothing. So actually, I'll tell you what. We did get to this festival in Austria. As far as I can tell, the only airport in Austria is in Vienna, which is certainly where we were flown into.
That's not true.
Well, it was certainly the only one they decided to fly us into, right near the Hungarian border. Sort of thing.
Can't fly into two airports at once.
Well, no, you can't. But the festival we had to go to was right on the Italian border, which is literally the other end of a country that's only 5 miles long anyway.
And all they sold on the roads was out of date onions. Is that right?
No. I had the onions back here since I've been back. But no. We got down there, so we like 3 hours there, 5 hours to get there. I mean, they haven't even had that. There were no such thing as a vegetarian in the parts of Austria that we were stopping.
Okay,
let alone a vegan. So I hadn't eaten anything for quite a while. But no, we got to the festival. It was a vegan hardcore festival, so it's pretty cool. But we got there at about like 2-3 in the morning. Everyone was really hammered. We watched sort of the end of this last band, who were exactly like. And looked exactly like the Omar Rodriguez Lopez group.
Turns out it was him.
It wasn't. No. Okay. We watched them. And then as it finished, some hammered Austrian fella turns around to us, realised that we were English. And he's like, oh, you're English. And I don't know why I gave him a sort of French.
Yeah, a bit
Russian
weird.
Accent there. And we were like, yeah. And he was like, speed or weed? And that was the festival.
Okay, good. Yeah. Good that you... I mean, obviously you said no to both of those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a representative of Guitar Nerds Limited, I'd expect nothing less from you.
We're PLC now, actually.
Oh, yeah,
We're a conglomerate. We're a conglomerate.
Cool. Okay.
We're actually a country now. Mean,
yeah, okay, yeah,
we're
yeah.
We're a country.
Yeah. The state of guitar nerds.
I mean, the state of guitar nerds. It's over there, I'm telling you, honestly.
But it's nothing to do with that. I genuinely have food poisoning.
I don't think that's true. You've been out on a bender for a whole week.
But I've been back for a day.
Oh.
So if Joe has to...
basically, you're gonna be right sat in the middle.
No, I've got this.
If Jay needs to... If Joe needs to dart off at any point during this this podcast, that's the 4:30 explanation of why. So, as always, thanks for joining us for the podcast. Thanks for joining us if you're watching on Amplify, ampli.fi/guitar nerds, where every week we do this for a whole hour every Tuesday night from 8:30 UK time. Jay Cross is in the chat, I believe.
I am.
Have you got some people in the chat? People
yeah,
watching?
There's a few people hanging out, so hello Good. To everyone who's hanging out in the Amplify chat room.
Good.
Feel free to let us know what's been going on. Any new gear days? Any
noisy motorbikes?
No, noisy motorbikes. I tell you what, I had a dreadful commute home from work. I think we all have had a bad commute home from work today.
Mine was great. I got a lift.
Okay. Yeah, you got a lift. Matty sounded like it was bad. Mine was really bad. It sounded like that the bus driver, like they, she was complaining that we were running late, and then like she couldn't change the ticket machine, so she phoned up the depot and was like, no one's ever shown me how to change the ticket Brilliant. Machine. And it's like, surely it goes in one way or it goes in the other. Anyway, she then like started saying something about how the dog that was on the bus had like done a poop and like tried to kick us all off the bus, and we were like, there's no poop, like, please, can we just carry on? And she was like, oh, no, I'm not sure.
Was Joe Branton driving the bus?
It was Joe Branton driving the bus.
Josephina Branton.
Yeah, thanks.
But everything's great. What was the question?
I don't know. We should talk about guitars, probably.
Yes,
this
sorry.
This is the Guitar
yes.
Nerds podcast. Bringing it back around. Matt Knight, you got a new pedal today, by the looks of things. What did you get?
I actually got two.
What did you get?
Yeah, so on my in fact, I've got another one coming tomorrow as well. I've gone a bit mental, and I've decided to buy loads of pedals,
okay.
and then I'm going to plug them in all separately, and then completely rebuild my pedal board, and then sell the ones that I'm not using.
Right,
keep the obvious classics, but just have a change around. But I did add to the Dan Electro collection, so
yes.
people on ampli.fi can see that.
What was that?
That's the
hash
browns.
What is the hash brown?
It's a flanger.
Okay.
What else do you think is synonymous
this,
with hash
this
browns?
This was £7.50.
Sweet. So for those who don't know, Matt Knight is steadily building the... is it called the Food Series? Is that what it's...
That's what we've been calling it.
Yeah, so the Dan Electro mini pedals, all named after food items, various sandwiches, etc. They bought out a range, what, 10 years ago? 15
yeah,
years ago, something
like
that?
Yeah, this is actually, yeah. This is copyright 1999,
Well, there
actually.
We go. So 17 years ago.
This is a vintage pedal now.
Yep.
It's, you know...
Officially vintage.
Stir-fried vintage modern classic.
Yeah.
Stir-fried. Stir-fried hash brown. I've made that before, actually.
Yeah, weird. So how many more have you got left to go now, Matt?
Probably about 20. They made a lot of pedals.
How many have you got?
Four.
Right, okay.
I'm being fairly sparse with the ones I'm getting. I've discovered there's some rarities that don't come up very often. The amp doesn't come up very often, which is the bacon and eggs. Which is the amp in a pedal. That doesn't come up very often.
I think you've got to be careful about this, Matt. Like, one of the things that I can't handle is like, I hate spoilers, yeah? And so, like, whenever I'm watching a show or anything, I won't post about it on Twitter or Facebook because I don't want anybody to, like, spoiler it. And I just feel like you're really opening yourself up to people who listen to this podcast being like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to keep an eye out on eBay and then I'm just going to hijack Matty.
I kind of think the opposite. Like, people have been tagging me in posts being like, oh, this has come up. And actually, someone did tag me a few months ago where someone was selling the entire collection.
Oh, man, why didn't you get that?
Because it was like 350 quid.
Yeah.
And
yeah?
I was like... but then talking of that sort of range of money, I did text you boys today to say that... because I'm always on eBay. that a Montreal Assembly Count to Five went for £300 on eBay today.
Yeah. Yep. Mine is.
I bet that guy's gutted because he just emailed everyone today saying there's a new run of pedals come out, and everyone on the forums has been like, "Yep, I'm going to order one."
I also got that email and thought exactly the same thing. So mine is not actually made it onto my pedal board yet because I don't really understand how it works. So I've been like trying it. I played some guitar this week actually, and I played the Count to Five, and just trying to understand it is difficult. So mine may be coming to eBay shortly, but maybe not now that he's announced that there's a. There is a run of pedals coming. So
yeah. Now that you know it's worth less than...
Yeah.
I went to see the band Alma recently, yeah. who also have one on their board, and I asked Pete, the guitarist, about it afterwards because I didn't see him use it, and he was like, no, I can't work it out.
Yeah. I can't work it out. They're, yeah. God knows. God knows. I need to spend a bit more time with it, really. Yeah. They're great. They're a cool-sounding pedal. I just haven't really figured out how to control it. Like, I can make it do weird stuff. And make it do like a basic loop and things like that, but I can't really make it do the weird stuff in a usable way, like how I've seen it used in videos.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I want to be with it before I decide whether I want to sell it on or not. So, but yeah, cool pedal. What was the other thing that you bought today, Matthew? You said you bought a couple pedals.
Thing in my new continuing saga to do with my new job, and this is just like a personal quest. I'm buying modded Boss pedals.
Okay.
Because I'm comparing them to standard Boss pedals to see how much they differ. And I actually bought a Keeley modded SD1. For that's, people who can see it on the live stream, it's there on
screen.
It's
kind of one of the most popular sort of modded pedals on the market.
But I got this like ridiculously cheap, considering that I think when Keeley, because it suddenly dawned on me when I bought this that Keeley doesn't mod pedals anymore. I was like, oh yeah, there's nothing on their website. So I haven't modded pedals for obviously probably a year, a couple of years now. And these were well over £100. But I haven't taken a screwdriver to it yet and opened it up and seen what's changed. But I think it's mainly the op amp, the little chip inside. I think that's changed. But yeah, so looking forward to play. Oh, and it's got a blue LED. So obviously the most important thing to any tone. So I've got a modded GE7 and a modded SD1. And I've got a Boss PS2 turning up in the post tomorrow.
Only the best Boss pedal of all.
Yeah.
A modded classic. PS2.
I love the modded PS2. You could buy games from like Japan, you play them, you put them onto a DVD.
Plays PS1 games.
Yeah, plays PS1 games.
You didn't have to do that thing where like you had to like open the disc when the laser got to a certain point and swap the disc around.
Awful. That's good. Yeah. One thing you did point me towards this week, talking about Boss on eBay, someone is selling... Remind me what it was called. It's the desktop version of the GT8.
Oh, the GS10.
GS10.
S10. 45 of your fine English pounds possibly one of the worst products that Boss ever produced. So, and I'm going to say that.
So it was... Yeah. You have to be careful.
It was terrible.
In case there's anyone inside...
Is that the official party line there, Matt?
Yes. What if someone...
No, that's the official guitar nerds line.
Okay, right. Gotcha.
This isn't... I'm distancing myself from that. It was basically a desktop version of the Boss GT8 that had speakers built in. And did it have, like, backing tracks and stuff?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you know what it reminds me of? And I hadn't thought about this for a long time until I saw that. And I was like, when I first started working in guitar shops, and we had like, you know, you had all the Boss stuff on display. And when we first had like a kind of Roland Planet install, which is like an area where everything Boss and Roland is on display, where you used to have things like the BR-800 CD and the BR-1600, and like that was the thing before people like. As computer recording as popular as it is now, like, oh yeah, we'll just bounce everything down onto CD. It's like, I just, you can pick those up so cheap now.
Yeah.
As like a portable recording solution. And that the GS10 was effectively, I think, the same thing, but just without the kind of multi-tracking capabilities.
Do you remember there was a time when manufacturers were really trying to cram multi-tracking into multi-effects? So there was like a Digitech one that had an 8-track recorder built into a large multi-effects pedal. It would be like a GNX4 or something, I think it was. I don't know why, for some reason that was, I think it was, they suddenly realised, okay, well, everyone's buying into computer recording, and like recording at home is really popular, but the sort of people that will buy a big GNX4 aren't perhaps the sort of people that are going to go out and investigate a sound card and how to record on there. Yeah. It was like the old man solution for recording.
I think my
In fact, I've just found a photo of the Digitech GNX3 discontinued guitar workstation.
Which one was that? Because that, I think, was what I was
That is the... So, five buttons with an up and down band control and expression, and then obviously all the kind of multi-effect stuff, and then, yeah, like the tracking controls on the side.
Yeah.
So, like stop, record, play, forward, you know,
what
and then
amazing
all the...
product.
Yeah, yeah, that was really big.
Digitech are quite good at doing those. Whilst they do some great stuff as well, they're quite good at making absolute failures. Do you remember the massive multi-effects unit that you needed to insert an iPad
stick your
into?
iPad into?
Wow.
Yeah.
It was all pre-Lightning.
The IPB.
It was like,
yes.
Oh, this,
and the problem with that is like it came out... They reacted too late.
Yeah.
So by the time it came
so late.
Well, by the time it came out, Apple then went, oh yeah, we just released an iPad Mini, and Digitech was just like, oh.
And it was literally it was like a £200 product.
I think it was like two or three months before they shifted from 30 pin to Lightning.
It
only had like a 30 pin connector, and it was
unbelievable. Like what a redundant product.
Yeah. Also, the other one that I always think of with Digitech is the Eric Clapton Crossroads.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
That had had eight of his favourite sounds, including Layla twice.
Yeah. Layla electric and Layla acoustic.
But then, did over the last couple of years, they have brought
they've
it around.
Really
they've really
themselves.
Brought it out a little bit.
Oh, yeah,
it back.
No, don't
like,
get me
know,
wrong. The Mosaic.
The Mosaic, the Polaris.
Yeah, they're all brilliant.
The Supernatural.
Yeah, absolutely.
What
absolutely.
Great delay.
And don't get me wrong, I think Digitech have produced some of the best. But I think like the Jam Man Stereo was my preferred alternative to the RC30. I thought it did more and had more. It was and made more sense to me than the RC30 did.
I never really liked the Jam Man.
Fair enough. Not the normal Jam Man. I think the normal Jam Man was absolutely balls. But the Jam Man Stereo, the four button one, I thought was great and had something
you could move
over
up and down the patches.
And I thought that for that reason it had something over the RC30.
Yeah.
And the Digitech Time Bender.
Yeah.
I still think is one of the best, most interesting delays that's out there on the market. And you pick those up for £100. They get it on the money as much as they get it off, but they get it off.
As much as they get off.
Yeah, exactly. The Eric Clapton pedal. Does anyone remember the box that it came in?
Yeah, it was massive.
It
had a big power supply in it as well.
Yeah, yeah. It was, but I mean, if listeners, you imagine, you know, the pedal was ordinary stomp box size. The box was like four times the size of that.
Yeah.
It was a huge, big box.
Yeah,
they definitely got some boxes from Electro Harmonix on the cheap or something like that. Just gonna have them. Just fill it up with something.
Yeah, definitely. So. Should we do some news?
Yes, let's do some news.
Before we do that, can I just jump in with something that I did this week that I think...
What? You never have personal
news. I know, and I do this week that I think Matty and Joe especially will be into. In the So I went to see this band over the weekend who I'm really into called Nova Twins.
Right.
And they're kind of a bit of a weird... They're a bit weird. They're like... Almost like a grime punk band,
kind of,
but and like it's like they it's all done live, and it's they're just a three piece guitarist, bass player, and drummer. Although the band is really only the guitarist and the bass player, but live it was just absolutely incredible, and the bass player just had the most amazing rig, like just it was so mental. Right. They had like. I couldn't see the entire pedal board, but it was huge. It was massive, and she used this like big, by the looks of things, DIY switching system, and everything was plugged into this switching system. So she could only turn on and off pedals with like using the switching system. It wasn't a gig rig, and it wasn't an ES8. It was something similar to that, and everything was underneath. Was on like a bottom tier, so she couldn't change any of the settings or anything like that.
Right.
But then she had a tier above where she had, from what I could tell, two octave pedals. One that went up and one that went down, but they were both set to momentary controls, and the rise time was really, really was like really long. So like she was almost able to get that sort of like dubsteppy, like, you know, when you get like that warp type sound.
That's quite cool.
And she was doing
that's
that.
Such a good idea.
Honestly, it was absolutely incredible. I sort of like, there wasn't that many people at the show, and I sort of like just shimmied along so that I could see, like, and I just was like,
hello there. What were the octavers?
I don't know. I couldn't see. I couldn't get that close. But like, it was such a cool setup. Nothing, I've never seen anything like it before. It was absolutely brilliant. And they are back in Brighton at the end of next month. And
what's that? Nova Twins.
I'm gonna see if I can get an interview with her.
That'd be cool.
To just do like a pedalboard run, pedalboard showcase, because it was so cool.
Playing a Westone Thunder, no less.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, I've got a soft spot for those bases.
Yeah, they're super great. Cool. And I was gutted that I missed that show. I really wanted to see them.
They were really cool. And the guitarist was using a double jet, a Gretsch double jet. Yeah. And also doing my new favourite thing, which is she had two mics. She had one which she just did like her straight vocals in, and she had another one which had like all the effects in.
Yeah.
And occasionally she'd like push them together so that she could use both at the same time.
Yeah.
But like primarily was just able to differentiate between having like straight vocals and having like a space echo-y type. They were so good. Such a cool band. And like just a setup that it's really cool. You sort of think, oh yeah, I've sort of seen it all, you know, we've seen it all. And then I read an interview with them today, and they were just like, yeah, we just kept getting pedals, and we just put, like, they apparently didn't go out looking for specific things. Just like, oh yeah, that sounds cool, let's just try and fit that in somewhere. And it's great. It's so cool. So cool.
Have they thought about a Digitech bass synth wah? Because
the ultimate.
Yeah, it is. It's bass pedals. Cool. Well, let's
Other than the Boss Auto Wah.
Let's try and get them on the that's another
with the vowel setting.
That is a good one.
You can select the first and last vowel.
Personally, instead of that, I would go for the Line 6 Auto Filter, which is a cool and very cheap pedal.
Yes, I imagine.
We should try and get them on the show, Jay.
Yeah.
It's probably a good point actually to mention. If you haven't, if you're not on the Facebook group and you don't know already, I did an interview recently with Brian Wampler from Wampler Pedals, and we put it out over on the Patreon page, patreon.com/guitar nerds. But it's free, unlike the rest of the Patreon content up there. We put it out for free, so anyone can go on there and download it and listen to it. I think you can listen to it on the Patreon app as well. And we're going to be doing some more of that, Guitar Nerds interviews or Guitar Nerds meets, I don't know what we're going to call it yet. So that was a little free taster. And if you sign up to Patreon, we, as well as the weekly half an hour of content, we're going to be dropping interviews and stuff on there as well. So
swag.
Yeah, should be rather cool indeed. Right, let's move on and do some news.
On another quick note,
okay.
Just before we do the news, I would
just
like
just one
to
more
say,
thing.
Yeah. So you know, I obviously went to Austria. We flew to Austria, and in fact, you helped me out because you lent me a Hiscox,
the bass case,
flight case.
Did
for
you
one
leave?
Of my bases.
Did you leave my Rock Against Bush sticker on there?
I left all your stickers on there.
Yeah,
it's fine. It was Austria. It wasn't a problem. But, So I took two bases in Hiscock cases, and I took my my pedal train Novo 24 in a flight case. My guitarist took his Novo 32 in a flight case, and his two guitars.
How much got smashed up?
All of it.
What?
Really?
All of it. I just thought I'd use the podcast to drop this news on you.
Wait, what's going on with my case?
Everything. British Airways wrecked all our gear. But
No, not quite.
I just wanted to wind you up sort of live.
Okay,
on
good.
No, but they did actually smash everything. A bit.
Still not filling me with confidence.
No, your case is fine. Your case is fine. But all the cases had the new cuts in them, sort of thing, where the plastic had been knocked in on the underside, and both the pedal boards were cracked as well.
Really?
Our guitarist's 24 kilogram Novo 32 quite badly on one of the tops, like the wood panelling in there. And bear in mind, all these Hiscocks are, if anything, the market leaders of flight cases.
Yeah.
And Pedal Train, probably the most popular brand for flight cases. You know, they may not be the best, but they're not bad at all. And cracks on all of them. So So touring bands, British Airways, I mean, flying is a dangerous thing for you to do with your gear anyway, but your case got away perfectly lightly. A little sort of mark on the bottom.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, well, we can talk about this off air and how much you owe me and all that.
Yeah.
Right, let's do some news.
Nude.
First up, Walrus Audio announces the 385 Overdrive. Matty, what's the details?
Yeah, so this is quite a cool one, actually. It is based off, and you wouldn't believe this, a vintage film projector.
Okay.
What?
And I've sort of seen this
What?
Yeah, this is the weird thing. So there's a company called Bell & Howell who used to make film projectors, like proper old school film projectors that are, as with everything then, basically valve driven. And they sort of had like an inbuilt speaker system or an output to a speaker system for projecting movies. And because it's a valve amp, people were effectively converting them into amplifiers. So if you sort of know what you're doing, it's an easy convert into a valve amp. So they're sort of picking up popularity on the secondhand market, like $200-$300. So not like massive money, but people are buying these old film projectors and turning them into amps, and they overdrive in a very natural way because they're using all these kind of, you know, this vintage preamp. So Walrus Audio have basically copied that overdrive sound, so they've taken that as inspiration and built that as their kind of guitar overdrive slash amp in a box. So bass and treble, volume and gain, so like standard controls, but they've just really tailored the sound towards this this old film projector.
I love that idea.
Yeah, well, basically the film projectors are a dual 6V6 output, so kind of low powered Fender, so like a old Fender Princeton or, you know, a Deluxe or something like that. So one of those ones that where you start to crank it, it starts to get that kind of real gritty sound to the kind of low end, you know, for that real kind of, you see a lot of kind of blues guys like sort of cranking those old Fender amps for sort of that, just that super clean sound, but there's just that little bit of hair on the top end.
Yeah.
And it gets quite compressed as well because the 6V6s are fairly low powered. So they've kind of built all of that into this pedal. So yeah, $199 and pre-orders available now, but that's cool. That's the Walrus 385.
Sounds cool.
I want one of those film projectors now.
What was the reason behind 385 being the name?
Is that the model of the projector?
That's the model of the film projector. Right. Yeah. 385 Filmo Sound Projector.
Classic.
Great name.
Matty, while we're talking about valves and while I remember,
yes,
Mullard valves, they're the nice expensive ones, aren't they, that people love?
Yeah, they're not a company anymore.
No. The reason I ask is someone I know has found a crate of Mullard valves.
Cool. I will buy them all for a very small fee.
Yeah, weird.
I have a jumper with Mallards on it.
Mallards or Mullards?
Mallards.
Okay, just a pair of Mallards.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, mate, I'll keep you informed. I just wanted to check that was...
I've had a couple of amps with the old ones in, and it's great if you can still find them.
Yeah.
Because the thing is now is most valves are either Russian built or like Chinese built, so it's rare to get British built valves or American ones. And I know Watford Valves sell some valves that are like £400 a pair.
Wow.
That are designed to be like, you know, the same sort of thing as the Mullard. So if you can find an amp with Mullards in it. I don't know who makes them now. I think some are available, but I don't think they've been... No, they're definitely not made in the UK anymore. As far as I'm aware, they're not.
Well, someone is in for a windfall then, because they've got a crate of original Mullard valves. So
yeah.
I shall, pass on the info. Should we talk about the coolest named pedal to come out this week?
This is not a cool name.
It is a cool name. This is the J Rocket Audio Designs Hooligan Fuzz. What's the deets, Matt?
So I think if people listen to the podcast regularly, might remember a few weeks ago we were talking about the Tour series of J Rocket pedals. Yep. So they're kind of older, kind of spam can. I think we described it last time. It looks like a can of spam sized pedals. Yeah, into these new kind of silver, smaller, what they call Tour Series ones, designed for kind of smaller pedal boards and a little bit more heavy duty gigging. And this is the version of their WTF Fuzz. Right. So a few tweaks from that. I think they've kind of changed a couple of the circuit bits inside, just change the sound slightly from that pedal. But the idea is that you get everything from kind of very smooth, kind of like a Proco Rat, to what they call the trombetta horn sounds. So basically stupidly fuzzy sounds that sound great at home but ultimately become maybe slightly unusable. But yeah, more of that kind of Proco Rat sort of the pedal that I always find borders on distortion and fuzz.
Yeah,
because to me a rat pedal's never like fuzz, it's more like a high gain distortion but not like a metal amp.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great because the enclosures on these are really nice and kind of like they're nice and tidy for a pedal board, so top mounting jacks are not too wide, and it's got a gunk control on it, so every pedal
what
should
else
have.
Could you want? Yeah, I like it. Hooligan exactly. With the gunk. Let's talk about we've got limited time, so we'll skip over that one. So Fender's new iOS tuner, has anyone used it yet?
Oh, why have they, but are they jumping on, no one's going to use that instead of Boss's one.
Oh, they may well do. Matt, have you had a chance to have a look at it yet?
I have had a chance to look at it, but I haven't had a chance to use it, so I've just been reading a few of the bits on it. Yeah, it's difficult because they kind of, one of the features I think they build into it is that it's kind of like supposed to be like pitch perfect, but they're saying like auto-tune, pluck a string and the app hears the note and guides the player to the perfect pitch, which is just like
isn't
any
that just
normal
a tuner.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. So I'm like, yeah, until I actually use it, I don't know
how. Just sounds something that's going to be a bit like, you know, those Fender effect pedals they did, the delay and the drive,
yeah.
And it's just another thing like that.
We'll see. I think before next week, one of us should download it and we'll give it a full review.
Yeah,
definitely.
The actual screen itself looks nice and it does look good for beginners, but ultimately, you know, someone creates something where there's a gap in the market and everyone sort of follows suit.
Yeah.
So I think it's just down to personal preference. And the thing is, there's been tuner apps since, you know, people really started using iOS as a platform,
yeah,
for guitar. So people have been using the same tuner for a couple of years
and
now.
And the TC one has become like a bit of a standard, hasn't it? Like that seems the one that I seem to see on most people's phones.
Yeah, I mean, the one that I use is... see if I can find it. And the one I've used for ages is the... I've got the Boss one on here, but I've got just Guitar Toolkit, which I think was $2.99.
Yeah,
but it came with
a
tuner that
things.
Tunes loads of different... It allows to tune different scales.
The toolkit's
got
quite
a metronome,
good, isn't
in it?
Yeah, having the metronome and the sort of scale
gives you
guides.
Different chords and stuff like that, yeah, as well, which is quite handy. So I find that nice because it's... So if you play something and you're like, oh, that chord's a bit weird, I wonder if it actually kind of exists. And then you're like, oh, and then you can kind of work things out from that. So
I think it's a great tool. The toolkit, I think, is $2.99, really well spent, especially if you tab out songs and you maybe... You know, you don't know the name of sort of every chord that you're playing, which I think is quite common.
I mean, in your rubbish music, there's not really any chords, is there?
No, well,
they're
exactly
just made up.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But exactly, so an app like that tells us what they are.
Okay,
I mean,
fine.
When I've like depped for my mates' bands and stuff in the past, and whenever I've been trying to learn their songs, because I'm, well, not very good at guitar or bass.
Really?
Or,
you've never said that?
I know, it's weird, isn't it? Or like just like learning how to play... Learning then, like I can't tune by ear, not really. Like I can tune in reference to something else, but like if I'm trying to learn a song or whatever, I will quite often. I've got the Clear Tune app on my phone, which I've had since like
Tune I used to have.
I've had it since like I think I downloaded it in 2010.
Okay.
It cost me £3, and for the 7 years or whatever I worked in the guitar shop, I used it every single day. One of the best purchases I've ever made. But like whenever I'm like trying to learn other people's songs, if I listen to the record, I'll just be like. It'd be like, oh, an A, cool.
Pro.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good way to go about it.
You couldn't just listen to the record and work it out. Unbelievable. Let's do one last bit of news this week. And Matt,
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is something that I think appeals to you and other people with massive pedal boards and massive guitar rigs. Mr. Boogie have launched a line of signal management products. Now, what exactly does that mean?
Is that like the fat controller?
Yeah.
That would actually be a great name for like an interface for a pedal board. Call it the fat controller. And
that's the name of the next Boss multi-switching system.
Above not the ES-16.
ES-5, ES-8, fat controller. I'm into it.
Yeah, they are basically a range of buffers, line drivers, and interfaces for pedal boards.
Yes.
So kind of entering the realm of the utility effect, I suppose, as most people sort of decide to call it. So they do like a direct buffer, so just sort of in and out for kind of driving signal chain. The high wire is a similar thing, but it's got an onboard boost control, which is foot switchable, and then an effects loop that you can run all your effects in. So it works like a single effects loop switcher, but it also helps drive the signal along as well. Okay. So it's got a buffer in there. The ClearLink and the ClearLink, I think they call it the Pro. I think one's a receiving box and one's like a send. It's like they're like dual buffers, so I think they're kind of maybe people that are sort of going direct to PA, or they're using an acoustic. I think most guitarists are probably going to use the buffer or the dual buffer.
Yeah.
But yeah, just a range of cool sounding sort of, you know, proper class A buffers. I think the high wire, which is their buffer's got a 3 dB fixed boost as well as the variable boost control on it as well.
Okay.
And if you hold the button down, it mutes the whole signal, so you can use it as a tune and mute as well, which is quite cool.
I think these are very un-Mesa Boogie, in that, you know, they're not flashy products, but they are in a way very Boogie in that they look incredibly well built. They're not cheap, but they'll definitely do the job. You know, they're designed for specific things.
One of the features actually probably quite handy maybe for bass players who go, I don't really want to use like a Sans amp or anything like that. The ClearLink Receive takes any balance signal and turns it into an XLR output.
Okay.
So a little bit like a DI box, but it's driving the signal and kind of altering the level correctly.
So if, for example, you're using something like the Sans amp VT rather than the VT...
Yeah.
Plus, is it the one that's got the XLR out?
It's VT or VTDI.
Oh yeah, so if you're using the non-DI version, then this would actually be a good thing. So it would just turn a regular line signal into an XLR,
yeah,
like a nice XLR out into the PA. So
yeah. So once again, sort of those utility pedals that are kind of just really handy and stick with you for a long time. You know, it's one of those things that you kind of build for a board, and then you don't have to change it; it just works. It's there. And you know the sound's going to be good. They actually look really class as well. I think they kind of fit in with the rest of the Boogie design, so they look like nice bits of kit.
Yeah, cool. Joe Branton,
yes,
how are you holding up?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm all right.
You're there. You're looking pasty.
Thanks, man. Yeah,
you're all right. Have you got enough energy in you to do the regular segment, Brand of the Week?
Brand of the Week.
Lackluster.
Yeah.
That's what a boozy weekend in Austria will do to you.
It's nothing to do with the boozy weekend.
It's definitely... We've established that it's not the bad onions that you've eaten, and it's a weekend of pounding the booze.
The booze was free.
There we go.
Everything
exactly.
was free.
Exactly.
Everything.
Nothing's free, though. You're experiencing the cost right now.
Yeah. That's true.
That's true. Who have we got for Brand of the Week
this
week?
Brand of the Week, we're turning it on its head a little bit. We got some good sort of constructive feedback on the Facebook group about it, so I decided to maybe lay off the completely bonkers 60s brands.
Every week has been a bizarre 60s brand, which has been good. We've learned a lot, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And I will do some more, but I thought I'd try to bring it back and maybe give people some more useful information. I did think it was cool and important for everyone to you know, if you want that mantle of being a guitar nerd, I think you need to know about the weird brands, which is what I was doing. But now I'm going to talk about something that is very different. We've mentioned this brand maybe once or twice, but very rarely, because I'm going for the complete opposite this week. Rather than going for something 60s, I'm going to talk about something modern. But I'm going to talk about it trying to explain a little more about where I think it could fit into everyone's guitar arsenal and why it's
guitar-snal, if you will.
Guitar-snal. Oh, I'm reusing that.
Okay.
The company we're going to talk about is the Swedish brand Strandberg. And the reason I've chosen this company is because I think Strandberg make perfect all-rounder guitars for people who are searching for like a clinical perfection in their guitars.
Yep.
So great if you want to try something different, because I think anyone can play them because they're so meticulously built. Although the guitars are made for sort of heavy players, tech metal sort of players that are sort of in mind, and most of the players tend to be that, I do think it transcends that. And I guess, you know, fans, mostly the pickups that come in them are active, so mostly you'd have to be a fan of active pickups, spalted, flamed, and burled wood finishes, sort of thing.
Metal players, basically.
You know, that sort of thing, although I think it could be a great alternative for someone who might buy a PRS or sort of a high-end Ibanez. They're very modern, but they look incredible. They look like tailored pieces of furniture, and I think in a really good way.
Before you get too deep into it, I think a good comparison for the brand is someone like Parker, who back in the day were producing guitars that were technically perfect, and looked, you know, very unique.
Yeah,
but for a real player's guitar, someone who's not that fussed about the kind of you know, the heritage of, you know, Fender or Gibson, or even to an extent
that's
PRS,
what this is,
it's a really interesting brand.
Yeah. So as I said, they're a very modern company, and I guess their looks simply, so you understand what they are if you haven't seen them, they're characterised by having headless necks, very compact bodies, and fanned frets. And they were originally a Swedish custom shop that specialised in their very own patented ergonomic neck concept, and that's where this all came from. They designed a type of neck that was completely designed around perfect playing. Which I'll sort of come back to later.
Yeah.
But I guess it's a similar aim to a lot of modern companies, that the sort of search for perfection. But I'll read a little bit from their sort of website blog section. It says, "We've engineered our components from the highest performance materials and eliminated all potential losses of energy in the string's vibration. We break down the other barriers that can inhibit your inspiration." Sorry, I cut the sentence out a little bit there. The now iconic headless Bowden guitar, which is their main guitar, encompasses 6, 7 and 8 string versions that sound, play and look amazing for all styles of music. So that's kind of the idea. They're seeking this, like, how can we make the strings resonate perfectly? I mean, for me personally, that sort of perfectly also means soullessly.
Yes.
But it's still cool. So that seems to be their aim throughout. The necks, when I said the necks are this ergonomic neck design, because everything's fan fretted.
Is everything they do fan fretted? I'm sure since
they
the models
can do some
aren't.
non, they do some yeah, non fan, yeah. but But this is their thing. Their thing was fan fretted, because it's not just fan fretted. Their Endure necks, as they're called, also have a diagonal squared profile that shifts along the course of the neck at the back, which encourages proper technique wherever you are on the board.
Wow, so that'd
proper
be
hand positioning wherever you are.
I'd be useless with one of these then.
I know, exactly. I'd bend my thumb around for everything, but it's not just guitar playing, not for everything.
Just go to give someone a thumbs up and it's just at a right angle constantly.
But the that's the idea about the necks, and making them headless was in order to make them lightweight. It's supposed to be so that you can play for longer. That's sort of the idea they go for. And it's the same sort of thing they've gone for on the for the body shape. The body shape's designed to be lighter. It's missing the bits that aren't necessary, but also it's designed to be sat with in that completely pointless and showy offy far leg traditional.
Really? They're going for the classical sitting secret,
which is the shape of the body is based on that.
Okay.
And the fan fretting is quite extreme on the Strandbergs. The idea being obviously that you have a longer piece of neck at the bass end and shorter at the high, so that your bass strings have the tension that they require, your high strings are easier to bend, which is a great idea. The truss rod and hardware all made from lightweight aircraft grade aluminium. So they're supposed to be, you know,
rock solid, basically.
Yeah, rigorously reliable, and the aircraft grade aluminium is supposed to allow the vibrations of the strings to pass into the body relatively unhindered, in comparison to sort of some cheaper nickel.
I think it's a concept that will take off.
Oh man!
But that's kind of Strandberg. That's the thing with Strandberg. Now they're a custom shop. They've always been a custom shop, but recently they've introduced some stock lines. Now, if you wanted to get a Strandberg right now, you'd be looking at a 2-year, 3-year wait.
Even for the standard stuff?
No, that's why they've now introduced a factory line of guitars. They're also will set you back about $3,000 or $4,000, but they have introduced their own standard line, which are about £1,700 for a 6, 7, or 8 string Bowden in a number of finishes. The finishes are more limited, because you can obviously literally have anything from their custom shop. But I think that's great, them moving into this slightly more affordable end of things. And I really think I've seen very few companies that have gone to this sort of length to make a guitar that is perfect at what it does. And I just think, what a great, like, if you were going to get a modern guitar, it then surely this is what you're searching for. Like, if you're going to get a retro guitar, then you're looking for the sound of a Tele or the sound of a Les Paul. As soon as you want something with EMGs in or something like that, you don't want an RG, you don't want
some people want an RG.
No, okay, maybe an RG is a bad example, but you know, you don't want like a Horizon. There's no difference. There's no difference in what you're playing. What you're looking for is that metal tone, which is based on perfection.
Yes and no, but I guess, like you said, as soon as you stick EMGs in there, because of the way they sound and the way they compress and the way they react, they do have a tendency to make guitars sound very similar.
Yeah, but I probably put it wrongly. All I meant was you're not looking for the sound of an RG over a Horizon.
There's that
you're looking for that metal tone. Whereas you might look for a Tele tone, you might look for a Les Paul tone.
Sure.
But you're looking for that completely pure
metal,
clinical
sound.
Which isn't even, metal's the wrong word, but you're like pure clinical tone. And this, surely Strandberg do that better than any company I've ever come across. I think they look absolutely wicked and very much worth sort of checking them out on StrandbergGuitars.com. They've got a really interesting section called The Anatomy of a Strandberg that explains all the sort of details. And they've got a gallery on there that shows a previous custom shop and their own sort of made-to-measure section, where you can build something if you want to have a butcher's at how much it would set you back to have your perfect Strandberg. But they really are bonkers, cool, modern guitars that kind of look a bit like shotguns.
They've got a bit of a cross between a shotgun and a shark.
Yes,
I would say.
Is right.
Well, thanks for that. More informative. Any plans for Brand of the Week next week?
I tell you what, because we're going to Arctangent Festival.
Yeah.
Let's see what the weirdest thing we see is there.
Okay, and we'll build
that brand of the week.
Yes, Guitar Nerd at Arctangent towards the end of this week, doing some video stuff and chatting some celebrity guitar players and stuff. I think that's going to be super cool. Up on the YouTube channel, I guess.
We're speaking to Tosin Abasi.
We are.
That's going to be great.
Well, let's hope so.
Well, let's hope so. I've said it now, haven't I?
Yeah,
he's booked in. He's penned in.
That's what I'm saying. He shouldn't ever put anything out there because it might fall apart.
Indeed. Man. Let's say we're planning on talking to some cool guitar
people. We've got some very good stuff lined up.
We do, indeed. All over on the YouTube channel, probably. I think it's going to be a video thing rather than a podcast thing. So, should we dive into questions?
Questionable motives.
Good. First up this week is actually a bit of a sad story.
Oh, no.
There's a fairly nice ending to it.
It's always darkest before the dawn.
Indeed. John writes in and says, how are you guys doing? You may have talked about this before. This is, I think, about his question towards the end of this rather than the situation.
Oh, no.
I did miss a bunch of episodes because I was hospitalised for several months after having a life-threatening stroke. It's surprising because I'm not a normal weight and don't have any health problems. I was only 39. Doctors actually have no clue what caused it. There was a time when I really could not move. Rest assured, as soon as I could move enough to hit the play on the podcast app on my phone, I was listening to the podcast. Now I'm on the road to recovery and listening regularly. I have a bass question for you. It's all about your favourite bassist, Billy Sheehan.
The man.
And his signature pedal from EBS. What are your thoughts on it? I can see if you're chasing his tone, but how is it otherwise? It's certainly not cheap, but since it has compression and distortion, which are similar effects, are you really getting both in one pedal? So, first off, John, thanks for writing in. Sorry to hear that you've been off your feet for a little while, but, you know, glad that listening to the podcast is something that you would do in your... to help you
recover.
Do you
think we can have that? Can we have that one? Can we have, like, Guitar Nerds cure strokes?
No, I don't think we can say that. Right. I could say Guitar Nerds is a nice podcast to listen to if you're feeling a bit poorly.
Okay.
I think we'll go with that.
A bit poorly?
I mean, you're really undercutting the man.
Well,
here.
You know, we've got
John
to be...
had a stroke.
I realise that, but I don't want to make any medical claims that are untrue.
Right.
So if you're feeling a bit down in the dumps, stick on the Guitar Nerds podcast and, we'll probably make you feel a bit better.
Yeah.
Unless your problems are real bad, then, you know, you'll probably be about the same as when you started. Put that on the box.
Right, okay.
And sell what it. Box?
Put it on the box.
We should what release box? A box. Put a it cassette. We're going to release a cassette.
Put it on the box. John, glad you're feeling well. Billy Sheehan pedals.
Who's Billy Sheehan?
I was thinking about this the other day, and when I saw this email come through, we've not talked about Billy Sheehan for a long time.
I mean, that's because Joe's got a new... it's not like Joe. It's not like Joe to, like,
be really obsessed with
someone or something and then completely change his mind and go for someone else.
How does your long-term girlfriend feel about your personality?
Anyway, which of your favourite bass players is it we're talking about now?
We're talking about Billy Sheehan.
Billy Sheehan.
Paul McCartney, Juan Alderete.
Yeah, it's all about Eva Gardner.
Eva Gardner.
Juan might be off the throne now that Eva Gardner is going to be the new bass player in the Mars Volta.
Okay.
I might only
is that
about
is that
Eva
like
Gardner.
Is that is that's all really that's basically
that's all you
what
care
you're...
you only like musicians who are in those rubbish bands that you like.
Yes.
Okay, good. So Billy Sheehan's pedal.
Yeah, so
EBS.
So the EBS Billy Sheehan signature drive pedal. Yeah, it was a great idea. One of the things that was really cool about it was that it had its own effects loop so that you could do something that was far more complicated than I could understand.
Yes.
It was just so that you could run compression before and after the drive, which was a bonkers idea. It's a really good idea if you're chasing his tone. I think it's a good method of it's a good way to try and seek that. I never really got on with this pedal. I found it a little bit too much.
Okay.
Too much in what sense? Too much
Billy Sheehan.
Is what, like a Billy Sheehan preamp? And I realise that sounds like a silly thing to say, but that's, you know, is it just a Billy Sheehan preamp?
Right.
Or
Billy Sheehan uses a lot of compression on his drive tone because he plays a lot of solo bass. I don't believe for a second that he uses this same sort of setup in the Winery Dogs.
Yeah.
Because you just wouldn't be able to hear him when the guitar comes in. But when he plays solo bass, he has a very super overcompressed 80s tone, which almost takes him out of the realms of his it's too compressed to fill all the frequencies that a bass guitar needs to.
Yeah,
in order to back up a band,
kind of like sucks up all that bass end.
Yeah, just, exactly.
But because when you're playing bass solo, which he's actually doing a lot of the time, just the bass.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. You want that real kind of like totally squashed sound, so that all the little nuances in your playing and stuff are brought to the forefront.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what people are trying to emulate when they talk about getting Billy Sheehan's tone. It's
yeah,
like
I guess so.
They want that solo sound.
Yeah.
They don't want the nice, you know, normal bass sound that sits in the background in Winery Dogs, for example.
Yeah, exactly. So this I think is great, exactly for that. Perfect for those lead tones. Not very usable as a traditional bass drive. If you were a bit of a Billy Sheehan fan, didn't necessarily sound like him but liked his tone and wanted a drive pedal for your bass, I don't think this is the solution at all. Far too overcompressed. I do actually think there are some other pedals that do this kind of slightly better. That's stupid to say because obviously Billy Sheehan designed this pedal.
Yeah.
But from me not being Billy Sheehan, I found I got better results.
Are you not Billy Sheehan?
No, apparently not.
Why are you on this podcast?
I'm sorry. But I got better results from the Philosopher's Tone, Pigtronics Philosopher's Tone.
Which he was using for a while.
He used it before he made this pedal. So I know that's a compressor, obviously, but the Philosopher's Tone has that grit control,
yes,
which does a very similar thing to the amount of drive you actually get out of the Billy Sheehan drive pedal, because it's not incredibly drivey. It's actually quite a sort of safe, tame level of drive. And I just thought, yeah, I thought the Philosopher's Tone kind of gave you all of that.
Yeah.
With a bit more control. I just preferred it personally, to be honest. But yeah, I would say for the amount of money that the EBS Billy Sheehan drive is, I think there are some better alternatives.
Jacob says, considering replacing my Blackstar HT5, currently used without a cab 90% of the time, with a Yamaha THR5 THR10. Anyone have any thoughts or experiences of the THR? Guys?
Yeah?
You guys just stopped. You just both took your headphones off for the moment.
Joe is freaking out because my fridge is making a really
Your fridge
loud
is
noise.
Noisy. It's because you sit far away from the mic, so your mic's turned up. Quite high.
I couldn't work out what it was.
When I get too close to the mic, you tell me off for being too loud.
I've literally never done that on this podcast because I have a volume control. Unlike real life, where your voice is unbearable, I can just turn you down.
Oh, okay.
So Yamaha THRs, THR5 or THR10 to replace an HT5 that is being used without a cab.
I really like the THRs. I think they're really cool. I think they look great and I think they sound great.
Yeah.
I love everything about them.
I really don't like the THRs. I think they look bad. I think they sound bad. And I have nothing positive to say about them.
Do you really not?
I don't like them at all.
Do you not even like... I even thought that the sort of modelling options were a bit more intelligent.
No, I thought...
I thought that for a long time. And then actually when I spent a bit more time with it, I actually thought...
Which one? Which one?
Really nice.
Which one did you think for a long time? You thought
THR.
Jay? All right.
THR.
What he means is when he spent a little bit less time with me...
All right,
constantly telling him, reminding him
we did talk about this like probably about 2 months ago.
Uh-huh.
We had almost this exact same conversation a guy was saying, what would you have amp wise on an island? And I said THR, and you were like,
what do you like about
them
so much?
Yeah, it's really good.
Matt, what do you like about them so much?
I actually think they sound really nice, especially through headphones. A little bit quiet through the speaker, but they're not designed to be like on the floor. They're designed to be on a desktop and have them next to you and they're kind of forward facing. But actually, it was the recording thing that I thought was really good. So if you've got like, if you're using an HT5 and you might be using the recording output and you want something that sounds a little bit better, you've got the USB output that gives you stereo recording and records a dry track all at the same time. So you can reamp stuff, or you can just record dry guitar really quickly and then reamp it with like guitar rig, so it's quite good for kind of laying down stuff like that.
That's cool.
But it sounded really good with acoustic, and some people want to hear like acoustic with a little bit of effects, and it was actually really good for that as well.
Didn't they even make an acoustic version of it as well?
They did,
the
5 watt.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's the common thing. People think that the 5 is 5 watts and the 10 is 10 watts, and that's not true. They're actually the same power. It's just the 10 has more controls on the top panel, but when you plug them in via USB, they're exactly the same amplifier.
That's interesting. And what's the other one? They released a dark green one as well, which I think was something.
Yeah, so they do. They do a THR 10. They do a THR 10C, which is all classic, kind of like Fender and Marshall amps.
Uh-huh. And is that the THR, green one?
No.
The X is the green one. That's the Extreme, so that's got all the metal sounds in it. And then they did a 5 and a 5A, and the 5A had loads of different mics in it. So basically kind of modelled loads of different acoustic microphones.
Yeah.
Which was great, obviously, if you're a dedicated acoustic player and you wanted something really nice for your acoustic. But the 10 was really good. But yeah, the 5 was basically the same power, just it had a single tone control rather than a full tone stack. And there was one other control slightly different on top as well.
I just didn't like them at all. The thing that I thought was good about them was they were one of the first amps that I can remember that had USB out.
Yes.
Yeah. And that wasn't dreadful. Because you know there was a lot of it going around and it just didn't work for a long time. And I think that the THR was one of the first series of amps that did it really well, and I did like that about it. But then a whole new generation of practice amps came out, and I kind of feel like the THR was like it just came out at the wrong time. It was designed at the wrong time and then released at the wrong time. And you know, in fact, there's Jota Parra from the Amplified group from the Amplified chat has said exactly what I was going to say, which is the Blackstar ID cores.
Yeah,
which I just think do everything
they
that
are very
the
good.
I think they do everything that the THR does, but they do it better. And granted, they are a larger amp, like it's a bigger footprint. That's one thing that the THRs definitely do have.
It looks good on your coffee table.
Well, I mean, I don't really like the look of them, but they are very small, which is cool. You know, they're very small.
That's the thing, is that you can't put the THR on the floor. You've got to put it on a desktop. If you put it on the floor, it just doesn't sound
disappears.
Very good.
Yeah. But, you know, so they are very small. But the ID cores, I think, just do everything that the THRs do. But they just do, they do it better, and there's so much more going on with it. They've got the USB recording facility. As well as having the USB recording facility, it comes with some software that allows you to import MP3s and WAVs, and it will slow them down. Well, it won't slow them down, sorry. It will stretch them so that you can learn how to play. So, like, stretching is like slowing down, but with pitch correction. So it will, like, you can put a song to half speed, but it will also adjust the pitch so that it doesn't just sound like the... You know, it will sound... like the song is playing correctly, just slower, so that you can learn to like solo over the top of it and stuff like that. I just think it's such a great, and I will fully admit that I've talked smack on Blackstar a lot over the last few years, but I cannot fault the ID cores. I think they're such great practice amps. I don't think anything comes close to those when you're looking at a new practice amp.
So, Jacob, no definitive answer. Just depends on whose opinion you trust more. Is it Matt Knight and Joe Branton or Jay Cross? There's definitely some options there for you. Jay, we've got time for one last question. Is there anything in the Amplify chat that you want to talk about?
There was one question on here, and it was more of a sort of personal question as opposed to a sort of gear-related question.
Okay.
Harry wants to know, is there one mod that you always wanted to make but have never pulled the trigger on? To, like, a guitar or something like that?
Okay, fine. Matt Knight.
Sustainiac.
Yes.
I want to put a Sustainiac pickup in my guitar, and I actually don't know if you can buy them anymore. I've looked, and they're becoming difficult. But, yeah, I kind of fancy putting one in my baritone SG.
On the Les Paul.
I know it would be. Yeah, but I put two in my 58 Les Paul so I can get double the sustain.
Proper.
Yes, that's the one thing I've kind of never pulled the trigger on, but I do definitely want to do it at some point.
Jay Cross?
I don't think so. I was thinking about this, and I don't think so, simply because I don't really enjoy doing that sort of stuff. And I realise that's going to really put me at a disadvantage when we eventually get around to doing Fun for a Ton.
Yep.
Because
the modding.
I'm so excited about.
There's, I mean, that's what we're going to be doing. Is we're going to be like finding a sad guitar and making it better. and
make guitars great again.
That's it. And I you know, I feel like I'm gonna have a disadvantage because I'm not gonna know how to, I mean I don't know.
You're just gonna spend £100 on a guitar and just leave it.
Maybe.
Talking about sad guitars and making them better, in Fun for a Ton, I found a an auction house that does house clearances in Bedford. So I might try and get my guitar from there.
Now,
that would be a sad guitar.
The £100 needs to include your train fare to Bedford and back.
No way.
Definitely not.
And strings and stuff like that, we can't count that either.
Yeah, I reckon we can.
No.
I think you're you're just gonna buy like a really crap bass and put some like.
No, it's a guitar. We're doing guitars.
Okay.
But mine might be a hybrid.
Joe Branton.
Yes.
What's the mod that you would do?
Bass B bender.
Okay. Does that exist?
No, but I'd have to make it.
Okay.
Said I'd want to do, but would never pulled the trigger on.
Want to make a bass B bender? Yeah. Mine is refinish my P bass because the finish...
Oh, it's such a bad
colour. It's a great... I'd finish it in the same colour. I'd just get it in nitro because it's got like massive chunks of paint that have come off where I've dropped it various times. And if it was nitro, it would look... like really nice and like slightly dented and road-worn and stuff.
Yeah,
now
just
it just looks
plastic and
just looks like you know
a
when
squire.
If you buy like half a Smartie and it just cracks around the edge. That's what my bass looks like at the moment.
True.
So anyway, so those are the mods that we do if we felt like pulling the trigger. Thanks for joining us this week. We are over time, so we're going to wrap this one up. Thanks for joining us if you've been watching live on Amplify, ampli.fi/guitar nerds, where every week we do this for a whole hour and you get to watch us recording it live. We also, talking about extra content, patreon.com/guitar nerds is the home of the extra half an hour every week of Guitar Nerds content. And now, also, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, the home of where we're going to do, like, interviews of cool guitar people and stuff.
Ginterviews.
Ginterviews. And if you want to access that, patreon.com/guitar nerds. From $5 a month, you get access to the half an hour episode and the interviews that we do. From $10 a month, you become an executive producer of the Guitar Nerds podcast and get your name read out thusly. Boom.
Boom, boom, boom. Steve Merkel, Blair boom, boom, Toms, boom. Carlos Mancha, boom, 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 Andrew Marco, Helen Mirren, Mark boom. Cross, JD Short, boom, boom, David boom, Carroll, Ben Kingsley, boom, Andy McKenzie, boom, Brad Pitt, Paul boom, Corrigan, boom, Jack Godfrey, Jack Conroy, Will Clare, boom, Scott O'Brien, boom, Matt boom, Quine, Jon Snow, boom, Phil boom, Thompson, boom, Laurie Anstis, Moo Gravett, Colin Anderson.
Boom. Do you want to do the ones again that you did in a stupid way?
I did them all legitimately.
Did you? Okay.
I just added additionals.
I mean, I heard
did you not hear
Helen Mirren in there.
I also heard Jon Snow.
Okay.
Yeah. And there was one more. Anyone
Brad
get it?
Pitt. Matt? Again.
No.
You put Brad Pitt in there
Brad
again.
Brad Pitt was in there.
Okay, Brad Pitt was in there.
Brad
Go
Page,
on, what was the other one?
It's good money for this.
I know.
And
but I made his name better.
Name.
And I made his name better. Yeah, you missed... What was the other one that I got in? Come on, guys.
No, I didn't hear it.
Ben Kingsley.
Oh, I did hear Ben Kingsley. Yeah.
Ultimate.
I was concentrating on my bass line. And okay. Yeah, they're very good. Well, I'm glad you read everyone out. So thanks to everyone who contributes. If you want to get involved, patreon.com/guitar nerds. Another way you can get involved is go to the Facebook group. facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, where you can submit questions, feedback on the show, talk to other listeners, talk to people who clearly have no idea that we have a podcast, people that have joined us from the YouTube channel, people that want to spam you with their awful, awful guitar lesson videos. If you find those, please tell us and we'll delete them. But yeah, it's a whole barrel of fun over there. Another place that is fun is Twitter @guitar nerds. Instagram is also fun @guitar nerds, and you can follow us individually on Twitter. I'm @mark_random. Matt is @matt_nightsy. Jay is JAYBM1, and Joe is Joseph_900. Thanks very much for listening this week. Do go and check out the free Patreon episode, which is up on the page now. We're going to go and record a paid Patreon episode.
Yes.
About Blink-182's gear.
Part 2.
Blink-182 part 2.
Yes.
See you next week.
Cheers, guys.
Farewell, you lovely people.
Hold up. When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.